Welcome to Hope for the Caregiver here on American Family Radio. This is Peter Rosenberger, and this is the program for you as a family caregiver. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. Do you feel healthy today? Do you feel energetic? Do you feel stressed out? Do you feel, how do you feel? What's going on with you? Now, I'm not asking us to base our well-being on our feelings, but I think it's good to take an inventory of what's going on with us as caregivers, because now we can have an honest conversation. Most of the time, people are asking how our loved one is doing, but I'm asking how you're doing. And I'd like for you to do a self-assessment, an honest self-assessment of how are things with you financially, emotionally, physically, professionally. If it's not great, that's okay. Now we have a starting point. And we can go from there, but we've got to look at it for what it is. Are you in terrible shape physically? Are you heavy? Are you dealing with some health issues you haven't addressed? Okay, that's we can start there. Don't feel guilty. Guilt doesn't help anybody in this regard. That's not what we're about here. What we're about is an honest assessment of where we are. Okay, and that's how we start. I want to first off say it's been what a week this has been. And certainly congratulations to the Trump team and for an astonishing victory. And as the country looks to the next steps of what's going on, I got to admit, I'm a bit excited. I loved what he said at Madison Square Gardens about the caregiver tax credit. And he said, for so long, caregivers have been ignored, overlooked. He said, that's going to stop. And I thought, well, okay. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. I really do. I wrote an article about that. You can see it at my website at peterrosenberger.com under the mentions. It's in, in fact, I got three different people that picked it up, three different publications. One of them, American Spectator, the other Christian Post, and the other, the American Thinker. And I talked about what this means to us as caregivers and why this is an important step. It's not the step, but it's an important step. And tax credits are great, but if we don't know how to spend our money better, even if we have more of it, because our minds get besmirched, so money is not necessarily the answer for us. It's an important part of what we need to be able to function. But if our minds are messed up, and I can give you a perfect example. I knew a fabulously wealthy family back in Tennessee, and there was a neurological event for the husband and his wife was trying to take care of him. They had plenty of money. Money was not an issue for these people. And she was pushing herself to inhuman levels out of guilt and obligation. Remember, I talked to you about those things, the fear, obligation, and guilt, the fog of caregivers. This is what drives so many of our decisions, and it drives them poorly. And I pulled her aside and I said, look, you're going to orphan your children. You've got the money. You could have a team of people in here to take care of him right now. That what you could enjoy being with him without pushing yourself like this. And her health was not in great shape. And I've seen this over and over and over again with so many people. And to her credit, she made the call. And it was life-changing for them. He ended up passing away, and she kept the same team to help her now. And she's still alive. But money was not the issue. So I appreciate the tax credit that the president-elect is going to offer to us as caregivers. I think we should take advantage of it. That's going to be a ways out. We've got some time before that filters down to us. So my question to you is, what are you going to do in the meantime? What are you doing to prepare yourself? So say you get a little extra money. Okay, $3,000, $5,000, I don't know what it's going to be. $2,500, doesn't matter. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to live between now and then? What can you do to start organizing your finances between now and then? And then going forward. You see how that works with us as caregivers? It's not a one-time thing. There's not an episodic fix. It's a conditioning of our lives, out of our mind. You know, I love what Scripture says, you know, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. And I got to tell you, for many of us as caregivers, our minds take a beating. Our bodies take a beating. Our wallets take a beating. But our minds take a beating. I don't think we fully respect the constant noise that we have going on in our headspace and in our life. Imagine this. Let me give you an example. Try to have a conversation with somebody while the television and music is playing at the same time. And maybe a loud piece of machinery is going. And then try to have a substantive conversation with them. That's not far off from what it's like for us as caregivers at many times. Does that resonate with you? I mean, does that connect? Because that constant audio clutter, noise pollution is one word for it. You live in cities and so forth, and you hear this all the time to the point where you don't realize how loud it is all the time. We become desensitized to it. I found this out when I was in Nashville recently, and I came back out here to Montana, and it's so quiet. And there are times when I go outside here, and there's no noise, and particularly in the wintertime when there's snow everywhere, and there's no noise. And I mean no noise. There's no planes. There's no cars. There's no birds. There's nothing. No, when the wind is not blowing, it is dead calm outside. That is a strange and eerie place. One time, Gracie and I were way up in the forest on snowmobiles, and we stopped, and we could hear the snowflakes falling. I'm not kidding. It was that quiet. We turned the machines off, and we just sat there. It's rare that we get that kind of quiet around us. And yet, that is what we really need. Scripture talks about this all the time, of being still, being quiet in our minds, letting our minds settle down. Does your mind race a lot? We're solving problems all day long. We're pivoting. We're doing things that were way beyond sometimes our pay grade or our training or our skill sets, but we're having to just do it because it needs to be done. And there's this crisis after crisis after crisis. Am I the only one that has this issue? I don't think so. If you're listening to this program, you have this issue. You understand it. And if you're not there now, give it time. You will be. We've got to calm ourselves down. This is Caregiver Awareness Month. November is Caregiver Awareness Month. Well, what does that look like to be aware of us as a caregiver? Well, I'll tell you, I'm aware. I'm very aware of what it's like to deal with this and the constant bombardment of our senses, of our bodies, of everything. And Scripture speaks to this with clarity. It doesn't tell me how to take care of a woman with 86 surgeries and both of her legs amputated. Scripture does not tell me how to do that specifically. But what Scripture speaks to with great clarity is how to still myself and to transform my mind, to calm myself, to trust in the Lord with all my heart, and lean not unto my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct my paths. And so I ask you, caregiver to caregiver, but I'm also asking you, Christian to Christian, do you believe this? I mean, do you really believe this? If so, why? If not, why not? If so, how would anybody else know? I'm not accusing, I'm just asking. Because I think these are the kind of questions we need to ask ourselves. It's not enough for me to just repeat and rote to people, you know, just parrot out. You know, here's what I believe. Jesus, the Son of God, He came and died on the cross for my sins, and I'm going to go to heaven one day. I feel like that's what so many people just regurgitate. But when you look at suffering the way we do, particularly as caregivers, you got to have more than just repeating a phrase. It's got to be a driving principle of your life. It's got to anchor you. It's got to be the foundation of which you stand, because it won't last otherwise. Have you found that out yet? The things that we were told by people, maybe well-meaning, but shallow things, they don't hold up. But you know what does? The Word of God. And we're going to dig deeper into this. We're going to anchor ourselves into this. It's Caregiver Awareness Month. I want you to be aware. I want me to be aware. But let us all be aware that God is aware of us. And that is hope for the caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. We'll be right back.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
As events unfold and new information is made available, you deserve to know your news source is reliable. That's why more and more people trust American Family News. It's timely, accurate information with no hidden agenda, just integrity. And we cover areas that other news outlets are afraid to touch, like church matters.
The reality is our kids need to understand the Bible's influence on our founders, the Bible's influence throughout our history.
Missions updates.
More than 300,000 children have been forced from their homes in Haiti this year.
And the fight for life.
Bates is challenging an Oregon Department of Human Services rule that excludes her from adopting any child because she would not violate her religious beliefs to promote Oregon's radical gender ideology.
You can settle for what's called mainstream, or you can tap into the flow of news that matters most to you and your family. American Family News. Find us on the radio, online, or on our app. Get all the details at afn.net. afn.net.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. I am so glad that you are with us. PeterRosenberger.com. PeterRosenberger.com. Got a lot of stuff out there for you. Got a lot of things from our library. I want to tell you also that Gracie is doing a series on chronic pain. And I've been helping her write this. She's been thinking about this for a long time. And she asked to be able to do this, because I'd asked her, I said, you know, what's next for you? And she said, as far as writing a book, her book came out many years ago. It's still out there. You could see it. It's called Gracie Standing with Hope. But she said, I'd like to write something for people who are in chronic pain. And so we've been putting this out as a blog post. You go out, it's free. You can go out and take a look at it. PeterRosenberger.com and look under Gracie's blog. And then if you'll sign up for our e-letter, we'll let you know when things are coming out, because she has a new song that we're going to release this month. This is November 18th is the day she had her car accident 41 years ago. And she's releasing a special song on that day. I'm putting this out by faith because I still haven't heard the mix of it yet, but I'm trusting that it'll be done. But she's going to release this, and I want you all to, it's an extraordinary song. And I was listening to her record it the other day. I was recording here, and we've got all the vocals. I mean, all the tracks have been done, and Chris is working with this in Nashville. My friend Danny did a lot of the orchestration. We've got Jason Roller did great work on guitar and fiddle. I don't want to spoil it, because when you hear this and you hear the text of what she's singing and what she puts into it, it's going to knock your socks off. And I just can't wait for you to hear it. So the best thing to do is go to our website and sign up for our e-letter. And we send out, every month we send out an e-letter. And a lot of people send out like 6 or 7 a month. Well, we don't do that. We just do 1 a month, usually, unless there's something special piece of news. But we just send out 1 a month. And it has an article from Gracie, which will be on chronic pain. Then we'll put it out on the blog. And then something from me will feature a patient that's received a prosthetic leg from Standing with Hope, the prosthetic limb ministry we do, by the way, and most of you know that. Gracie wants to give up her legs. This was her vision to help her fellow amputees and point them to Jesus. And you can go see their pictures online, and you can also find out a new one every month that we treat. And we'll put out a song that Gracie's done, and we'll have one this month, or I've done, and then just different things, just to keep you aware of it. We have a whole library of things and I want you to take advantage of it, because I'm aware that Caregiver Awareness Month, the government recognizes it for 1 month out of the year. I recognize it 365 days out of the year. And God recognizes it for all eternity. So be encouraged that you're seen, and that there's somebody who has a long track record of this, who is providing some things that I've learned the hard way, and I have learned them the hard way, to offer you a better path than to flounder like I did. You know, Scripture's very clear. Comfort one another with the same comfort that you yourself have received from the God of all comfort. And so that's what I'm doing. But I don't get comfort from people coming up and putting their hand on my shoulder and say, you know, they're there, but you're going to get a crown in heaven. Or somebody, I've had more people tell me this. Maybe you have too. I've had more people tell me, oh, you're going to get a mansion in heaven. And you know what I said? Who's going to clean it? What am I going to do with the mansion? That doesn't really strengthen and comfort me. Whatever God has for me in eternity, I trust Him to work that out. I can't even imagine what that looks like. I just want to be able to look at Him. I just want to be able to see Him and be in His presence. And He says that I can have a taste of that right now, that His presence is with me. I won't see Him face to face yet. But I, you know, I'm not doing this so that I'll have a mansion in heaven or crowns. What am I going to do with the crowns? The hymn writer says you're going to throw them down at His feet, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. What am I going to do with all that stuff? I'm more interested, can I have the peace that He said I could have right now? Can I be content with this? Can I learn to trust Him in this? His Scripture tells me that I can. And this is what I've been working in my life for a lifetime of this. And so I want to offer it to you, my fellow caregivers. Here's what I've learned. Here's what I've experienced. Here's what I've touched. Here's what I've tasted. Here's what I've failed at. All of those things. Because I found that He is greater than all of this. I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where the bread is. That's it. And my hope is that you in turn will do the same for someone else. You know, that's why I do what I do. And I'm grateful for it. So please take advantage of that. You can see everything at the website. I've got Standing with Hope. I've got the Hope for the Caregiver. All of it, you just go to peterrosenberger.com. That's the easiest place to start. PeterrosenBerger, not B-U-R, B-E-R-G-E-R. Sign up for today. Look and see what we got. There's a Caregiver 911 right there on the front page. If you're struggling right now, I put a short video together. I've got a podcast that I picked out that I thought might be worth your time, and a path of just helping you right now. The last thing I want is something that people say, well, in 6 months you'll be able to say, I need something today. Right now, I need somebody to help me settle down and breathe today. And that's what I have. And then on my Substack page, I've got all kinds of stuff out there. I've got every Monday I put out one from my Substack page that's a chapter from my book, A Minute for Caregivers, When Every Day Feels Like Monday. So every Monday I put that out. It's free. There's a paywall of some other things that I write, but this is free. You can sign up for it. It's free. And this week is Major Patients for Major Medical Companies. It's Caregiver Awareness Month. It's at the end of the year. We deal with a lot of insurance. I thought you might find this to resonate with you. I got a letter from someone who said, Dear Peter, where does one find the patience to deal with insurance companies? And her name was Myra. And I titled it Feeling Claimless in Seattle, because she was from Seattle. And I said, Dear Myra, insurance companies are not that complicated. They're businesses driven by financial decisions, not emotional ones. In the throes of caregiving, our emotions run high and often unchecked. When getting on the phone with an insurance representative, remember they have a job to do. You may not like it, and they may indeed be calloused, cold, or even seem uncaring. But you don't need them to emote with you. You need them to help facilitate payment of a service, drug, or equipment. If you must appeal, demonstrate that the appeal is in their best financial interest. Every appeal I've won, and I've won quite a few, I've won because it made economic sense for the insurance company, mostly because approving the appeal kept my wife out of the hospital, which they want to do. Also, many insurance companies offer a service that assigns a case manager, usually a nurse, to patients with lengthy and extensive medical needs. Ask for such a manager. They will become a great ally to you and your loved one. Now, we're at that time of year where everybody is looking at Medicare programs and this and that. There's all kinds of stuff. It's end of year for insurance claims, deductibles met, whatever, all that kind of stuff. It can be a bit overwhelming to us. And most of these major medical companies have some type of representative that they can assign to your case. But no matter what, check your emotions at the door when you talk to them. Remember, it's just a business decision. They may seem cold. I get it. And that offends us. And I get that too. And nobody likes that. But it is what it is. You need them to write a check, basically. You need them to pay the bill. So how are we going to enlist them as an ally, as an asset, versus an adversary? Okay? And there's a quote that I put at the end of this from Howard Baker, who was the majority leader of the U.S. Senate in Tennessee. And some of you may remember him, but he was a very high-profile individual, well-beloved in the state of Tennessee. He was actually during all the Watergate stuff, and I think he was the one that asked the question, what did the president know and when did he know it? I think that came from Howard Baker. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. But he had a great quote. He said, "The most difficult thing in any negotiation, almost, is making sure that you strip it of the emotion and deal with the facts." You want me to repeat that? The most difficult thing in any negotiation, almost, is making sure that you strip it of the emotion and deal with the facts. That's a good quote for us as caregivers when we're negotiating with all these different people. And some of these people have so much more power or authority or money than we do. We're just armed with love and devotion and duty to our loved one. The people we negotiate with have education. They have sometimes lots of money and lots of authority over us, or at least over our loved one's circumstances. But we don't have to be beholding in that regards. Strip it of the emotion and just deal with the facts. Just deal with the facts. And you'll find that that really will make your life a lot easier. It will reduce a little stress. It's not going to take away the pain and the heartache that you have to carry as a caregiver, but it's going to lessen the stress on you as you do it. Let's make the path a little easier. We don't have to have a bunch of stones in our way that we keep tripping over. Let's move them out of the way. Okay? Let's learn to navigate this a little smoother. And that's something that I put out there. Again, go out there and just sign up for it. You'll get these things. Or if you want the book, it's A Minute for Caregivers, When Every Day Feels Like Monday. It's a great book to go into the holiday season with. Don't do this by yourself. Friends don't let friends caregive alone. The holidays are tough. And we're going to talk some more about that as we get into them. They are tough. You're trying to make everybody happy and try to rekindle things and nostalgia. You know, nostalgia ain't everything it used to be. And you can write that down. And these are not things that we have to put these burdens on ourselves to do. Okay? We could just be. It's going to be what it's going to be. Acceptance does not mean we're agreeing with it. It is what it is. Let's stop striving against it. This is all helping us be a little healthier as a caregiver. And healthy caregivers make better caregivers. This is Peter Rosenberg. This is Hope for the Caregiver. PeterRosenberger.com. And don't go away. We've got more to go.
Hey, if your travels for work or pleasure take you out of town, take AFR with you. You may already know you can listen to the AFR app on your phone, but wait, there's more. If your vehicle is equipped with Apple CarPlay, it can open the AFR app directly. That means you get easier control, and that means it's safer. Safer to use so you can stay informed on what you need to know to keep your family safe. And if you don't already have the AFR app, get it today. It's always free in the App Store.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. Can you see the signs of the times multiplying all around? Jesus is coming back, and He doesn't want His people to be unprepared. To stay up to date about unfolding events and get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, listen to Christ in Prophecy here on American Family Radio. Join us Sundays at 11 a.m. Central as we reveal the prophetic hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ, as well as the Bible's warning about God's coming wrath to those who don't yet know Him.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starn. Stand by for news and commentary next. Vice President Kamala Harris is at the center of a jaw-dropping scandal in Washington. Her campaign raised more than $1 billion, but on Election Day, she was reportedly $20 million in debt. Veteran politicos are stunned, many wondering how a campaign can blow through that much cash. Politico reports the campaign spent most of the money courting high-profile celebrities like Lizzo, Katy Perry, and Eminem. What, you thought the Hollywood crowd was really showing up pro bono for Kamala? Those concerts drained millions of dollars from the campaign budget, not to mention a massive digital strategy. Many campaign staffers are still waiting for overdue paychecks, and even before Election Day, staffers were being laid off. And now the campaign is struggling to raise money to cover the deficit. Well, maybe Kamala could get a job at McDonald's. Too soon? Be sure to get a copy of my new book. It's called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? It's available at toddstearns.com.
You know, I do kind of like my updated theme song. I just call it Peter Rosenberger theme song. Do you have a better name? If you have one, you feel free to go out to PeterRosenberger.com and send me a message. Maybe I ought to have a contest to write lyrics for it. What do you think? I had fun with it. I love it. And thanks for indulging me on it. Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger. Glad to have you with us. PeterRosenberger.com. PeterRosenberger.com. I want to switch gears just a hair. I want to tell you about a couple of people I've been talking with as of late that are struggling with very difficult things as caregivers. And maybe this is where you are. Maybe this is resonating with a lot of people. I think it is. But both of these individuals are having to place their wives into assisted care. Actually, there were three or four of them. And all of them were spouses having to go into assisted care. All of them are spouses dealing with dementia, Alzheimer's, some type of dementia, not always necessarily Alzheimer's, but some type of it. Okay? And it is escalated to the point where it's just not even feasible. And they all said the same thing. I feel guilty. I feel like I'm abandoning him or her. I feel guilty. And I get that, but I asked the question, and I want to see how this resonates with you. I said, is it really guilt? Is it really guilt? Or is it profound sadness masquerading as guilt? Now think about that for just a moment. What is guilt? Guilt is knowing that we did an offense against someone, us, ourselves, or God, ultimately. And God lays out very strict things about what we should and should not do as a holy people. But He also doesn't say a lot of things. And that's where you get into matters of conscience. For example, dancing. There are some people that have zero issues. Solid Bible-believing Christians who have zero issues with dancing. And then there are some people who forbid any kind of dancing whatsoever. But now, what does Scripture say? And if you don't feel that dancing is appropriate for you to do, And I'm not talking about twerking and stupid things like that. I'm talking about dancing, ballroom dancing, just dancing. Just dancing. If you don't feel that that is appropriate for you to do, then by all means, don't do it. But if you legislate that other people cannot do it, then we have a movie called Footloose. No, I'm just kidding. That's funny. I don't care who you are. But now you are placing yourself at a position to speak for God in this, because God did not call dancing a sin. But if you call it a sin, then what are you doing? You see how that works? And if you don't want to do it, don't do it. And Romans 14, I'm not here to in any way infringe on anybody's conscience about this. But we got to be very careful on legislating, because what we do is we place undue burdens of guilt that is undeserved, unwarranted in this particular case. And this is what I'm finding a lot of people are dealing with, guilt. And we are used to guilt in this society. We are used to the term of guilt. But are we really describing it accurately? Is this really what it is? Because if this husband takes his wife, who he cannot take care of, and she's falling, and there's all kinds of issues going on, and puts her in a place where they can take care of her, has he abandoned her? No, he has provided for her. This woman who is putting her husband in a home where he can be taken care of because he has serious memory loss issues and fall risk and all these kinds of things. And I can go down the line of people I've talked to about this. Have they done something that is an offense towards God, other people, or even nature? No. They may feel bad about it. They may wish it weren't so. They may get pressure from the other person saying, oh, you're going to leave me here or whatever. They may get all that. I understand that. But is it warranted? I'm putting this in a box. They may get all of that. But in reality, is it warranted? And I suggest to you that it's not. Now, they feel bad and they're feeling guilty for doing this. But if we really unpack it, I suggest to you that maybe what they're feeling is the edges of profound sadness and sorrow and loss, but it's masquerading as guilt. And so we try to treat it like it's guilt, but that's not what it really is. It's sorrow. And Scripture speaks an awful lot about sorrow. It doesn't speak anything about putting a loved one with dementia in a long-term care facility, but it speaks an awful lot about sorrow. I shared with this one husband. I said, look, you are not abandoning her. What you're doing is that you're enlisting all the resources that you possibly can to help fight this terrible enemy of Alzheimer's that has robbed this dear woman of her ability to function. And it's threatening to destroy you because of your inability to care for her in this. And you need help. You need resources. You need people. You need trained people. You need a facility that can help with these things. You don't have those things. And you're making the best decision possible. And if we look at this as profound sadness, as opposed to guilt, it is not in the Ten Commandments, okay? It is not in the law of God that says, thou shalt not put thy loved one with dementia in a home that can better care for them. There's nowhere where it says this. And other people are not allowed to legislate guilt on you of an offense that is not expressly prohibited in Scripture. Do you follow where I'm going? That's like you saying, you know, I love to dance with my wife, and then somebody comes along and says, you're not allowed to dance. But as Christians, we can't dance. And they're putting guilt on you for doing an offense that you have committed no offense. Their ideology is what's driving that. And we're buying into this. And therefore, we can't do this, and blah, 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 blah. You see where I'm going with that? I hope I'm making myself somewhat clear. But if we look at this as sadness, what does Jesus say about, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted? Well, what is mourning? Mourning is this overpowering at times grief and sorrow. but it also involves accepting what is. We don't like accepting certain things. It makes us feel bad. We don't like it. We don't wish it to be so. I don't want this, Lord. Take it away from me. Even Jesus prayed that prayer. Father, if it be thy will, please let this pass from me. Nevertheless, not mine but thine. And I truly get this. But I think it's very important for us to really be aware of what exactly we're feeling. Because the more we understand of what's going on and churning in our heart, the more appropriately we can apply the Word of God to it. As I looked at this man, I said, she is loved. She is cared for. She is safe. She doesn't understand the passage of time. But I said also, what happens if you have a heart attack? He's had one in this particular case, but the stress of this is so overpowering. I said, what's your plan? He said, well, that she'd probably have to go into a facility. And I said, and then she'd be doing it without you visiting, without your hand and your leadership there. And I said, your options are bleak, but you're not doing this out of a moral infraction against God. You're not doing this to betray her. You're doing this because this horrific enemy of Alzheimer's has invaded your home and holds her captive. And in order to fight this enemy, you are going to have help. It is beyond your ability. And it's okay to grieve that out. It's okay to be sorrowful. You have a Savior who is acquainted with sorrows and grief. It's okay for that. But we will keep ourselves churned, being like, if I'd only done this, if I'd only done this, if I'd only done this, if I just... No. No. It is what it is. But then I hang on to that promise that says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Is that comfort only going to be for us in heaven? Or is there any comfort here on this earth? Well, what does Scripture say about that? Who is the third person of the Trinity? The Comforter. The Comforter. I've said, the Comforter. Another helper, Jesus said. Paraclete. Jesus was the first helper. He said, I'm going to send another helper. And that's the Holy Spirit, who groans with us. God's Spirit does not abandon us. God's Spirit does not leave us in our distress. Say, y'all, hang on till you get to heaven, then everything's going to be okay. He said, I'm going to sustain you in this. My mother's favorite scripture, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. God's presence is not limited to waiting for us in heaven. He is with us now. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter, present tense, from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Maybe today you are feeling guilty. If it is an offense that God has clearly laid out in Scripture, if you are involved in some type of illicit activity, then by all means, repent of this and deal with it. But if you are torturing yourself with guilt over the decisions you're having to make to care for somebody who is impaired beyond your abilities to care for, then, my friend, listen to me. Listen very carefully to these words. You do not have to carry that guilt. You can reject it, reframe it, understand that it is sadness, it is sorrow. And we can take that to the Lord in prayer. We can take that to Him who meets us in that, who comforts us in that, who is there a shelter for us in that. And that, my friend, is hope for the caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back. I'll never forget walking into the hospital room after Gracie had her second amputation. Both legs are gone now. And she looked at me. She said, "I know what I'm going to do." And I was kind of startled. I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" She said, "I'm going to help provide prosthetic limbs to my fellow amputees and tell them about Jesus." And I said, "Well, baby, can we get out of the hospital first?" But she never let it go. And for almost 20 years, we've been working out of Ghana, West Africa. We treat patients all over there from other countries that come there. We send supplies. We send teams. We sponsor patients. We work with a prison where inmates volunteer to disassemble used prosthetic limbs so we can recycle the parts. All of this because Gracie trusted God with her heartache. We've got a huge shipment of supplies that is being loaded up right now to go out soon. Would you help us do it? StandingWithHope.com/giving. StandingWithHope.com/giving. There's prosthetic feet, knees, pylons, sleeves, adapters, all kinds of connectors. All of these things we are sending over there so that people can walk. We're going to point them to Christ. Help us out. StandingWithHope.com/giving. While in the emergency room with my wife, as she was struggling with the COVID-19 virus herself, and I looked at her, I said, "Are you scared?" And she said, "A little bit, but I've been through worse."
The Certainty of Mankind's History with Uncertainty, an article by Peter Rosenberger.
And then, as her fever was approaching almost 103, she started singing "In Christ Alone, I Place My Trust and Find My Glory in the Power of the Cross." And that's how she has anchored herself in the certainty of Christ through her huge medical journey that has included 80 surgeries, both of her legs amputated, 100 doctors have treated her, 12 hospitals, and now the COVID-19 virus. And so when we live with those kinds of uncertainties, anchoring ourselves in Christ alone, that's the only place we can run to where there is certainty.
To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
Keith Green got it so right with this song. Well, actually, Melody Green wrote it. But, "And leaving your spirit until the work on earth is done." We've not been left alone to deal with this. And I know that it is overpowering at times. I know that you feel outgunned and outmatched by this. I get that. But let's back away from that cliff of guilt and instead mourn the loss that it is. Our Savior mourned this place. He stood at Lazarus' tomb and mourned it. I mean, the Holy Spirit groans on our behalf. Let's understand that by doing that, we accept that it is. But by faith, trust that He is sovereign over all of this. And there is a Redeemer. I have said it 100 times on this program. Sin is a bigger problem than we think it is. And the cross is a bigger deal than we could ever imagine. And when we trust God, even when having to make the brutal decision of putting a loved one in a memory care facility or in a residential living or assisted living, and when we trust God to say, "I have done, Lord, all I know to do to honor my father, to care for my wife, to treat my husband. I've done all these things. And this is all I know to do. And I trust you to be Lord in this. And Lord, give me strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow." When we take Him at His word, it pleases God. It does please Him. You will cry. You will grieve. You will mourn over these things. I'm sorry. I share that with you. But greater than any of that, is we have a Redeemer who also shares that with you. And that's who we look to in this. We do mourn over these things. But do not confuse guilt with sadness. Do not let guilt masquerade as sadness. Okay? That's the whole thing I want to be able to just give you today and to hang on to. There are plenty of things that we ought to feel guilty about. Listen, I am the crash test dummy of caregivers. I have forgotten more mistakes than most of you all will ever make. God knew I needed grace so much, I married a woman named Grace. And so I rely on his provision in this. And I take him at his word. If you confess your sins to one another, he is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But let me tell you something. If you are making a choice based on recommendation from professionals and due counsel from this to put a loved one in a facility where you can get better care for them, that is not unrighteousness. Okay? That is stewardship. And there are people that are very, very good at what they do who can give you good counsel on that. I'm not advocating just run out and do it. I'm just simply saying if it comes to that, deal with the sadness, but put guilt away. All right? Listen, it's the November's National Caregiver Awareness Month. You knew that, didn't you? It is. It's National Caregiver Awareness Month. And while the government is aware of caregivers once a month, you and I are aware of caregivers every day, and more importantly, we have a Savior who's very aware of us all the time. But in this month, I do wish to be able to draw attention to certain things and let you know as you go into the holiday seasons, it's going to be a bit challenging, okay? And it always is for us as caregivers. We strive to try to make things perfect for our loved one because, oh, maybe it's their last time. And we got to make it special. And again, that guilt drives a lot of that. Again, we start dealing with the guilt properly, we'll start dealing with a lot of other things properly. But don't let yourself get caught up in the hoopla of this. It doesn't have to be a perfect Thanksgiving. Okay? Nostalgia ain't everything it used to be. We don't have to do that. And some of you may be having Thanksgiving in the hospital, in the assisted living. Some of you may have an empty chair. There'll be one for our family this year. Gracie and I have spent Thanksgiving in the hospital. Last year we spent Christmas, New Year's, her birthday, Martin Luther King Day, Valentine's Day, all of those were in the hospital. And, you know, we've done it. And she's going to be back again at the in January and February for more. The holidays are what you make them. And you can make them as special or as miserable as you choose to make them. Let's be thankful. I want you to go out to my website, peterrosenberger.com. That's where I'm housing everything for right now. We're working on Standing with Hope, and hopefully the caregiver site has been a little bit wonky. It'll point to Peter Rosenberger, but just go to peterrosenberger.com. Sorry for the confusion, but I'm doing a lot of major overhauls. At peterrosenberger.com, you're going to see a couple of things. One of them is you're going to see a caregiver 911 button. If you are in acute distress as a caregiver, click there. If you don't know anything about, you're just starting this, just click there. And I've got a little message for you and a podcast episode I picked out that I think may be helpful to start. And if it's not, there's 800 more that you can listen to that are free. Then get a copy of my book, A Minute for Caregivers, When Every Day Feels Like Monday. You can download it as an ebook through Kindle. You can get the audio book. You can get the print version of it. You can get that today. Do not try to go through the holidays without it. I promise you, you're going to find it very helpful. It's just in time, 1 minute chapters. Okay. And then you can sign up for our e-letter. Now, every month we send one out. We're not like a lot of other ministries where we send one out every 30 seconds, you know, kind of thing. I get a lot of those. We're not like that. We do it once a month. And it contains a message for me in it. It contains a song link or something, one of the music things that Gracie's done or I've done. And it contains a message from Gracie, who's been working through a series she's doing on chronic pain. We talk about a featured patient that we have every month of somebody who's getting a new prosthetic limb through our prosthetic limb outreach that's Standing with Hope. And we collect used limbs from around the country. They go to a prison where inmates volunteer to disassemble those legs so we can use all the parts that are recyclable. Not everything is, but some of it is. And we take everything we can use. And I've got to pick up a shipment next week. And we're sending that over to West Africa. We purchase new equipment so that they can, and like resin and so forth, so they can use that on site to build a custom fit leg using the recycled foot, knee, pylons, screws, adapters, whatever. We do all that. And it's an extraordinary ministry, by the way. You got a woman with a broken body who has partnered with Broken Lives in a Prison to recycle the prosthetic devices from broken people, to take all of this and send it over to West Africa, where they're used to build prosthetics for other broken people, and we're doing all this to point to the one who was broken for us. It's an extraordinary ministry. We invite you to be a part of it. We don't have fundraisers. I don't have golf tournaments for Standing with Hope. I don't have dinners for Standing with Hope. The people that support this ministry, and I've told this to our board of directors, I said, look, they're not looking for me to fundraise. They want me on the air talking to caregivers. They want me putting legs on folks, and they want me taking care of Gracie, and not necessarily in that order. And I said, we're going to trust the Lord to bring it in. I'm just making the invitation. If you want to, here it is. How many times do you hear me fundraise on this program? But if you want to help, we would welcome it. But I would suggest you get that e-letter, because we're going to be announcing very soon a new song. I just heard the final mix of it, of Gracie's new song, that is perfect for this month, for Thanksgiving. When you hear this, your heart's going to just, oh my goodness. I was crying when I was listening to it. And I've heard it a lot. I wait till you hear this. We want to tell you about it. We want you to know about it. And we want to keep you. And then she's going to be releasing a new song about every couple of months. The easiest way for you to find out is just get an e-letter from us. And we'll tell you about it. We'll have a link to it and so forth. So it's very exciting. I'm very much looking forward to this. And I want to share these things with you. And I would welcome your help. I am passionate about reaching my fellow caregivers. I think you know this by now. I never dreamed that I would have this platform. I never set out to have a ministry for caregivers. I never did. Gracie certainly didn't set out in her life to have a ministry for amputees. But when she became an amputee, she wanted to see people just like her have access to the same hope, quality prosthetic legs, and the message of the gospel. And when I embraced my role as caregiver and understood that that's what I've been doing, I didn't even think of myself as a caregiver for the longest time. I didn't call it that. I just did it. But when I understood it, and when a board member of ours, Sam Clark, told me, he said, Pedro, you need to have a show for caregivers, and you need to write a book for caregivers. I embraced it. And I said, I am one. And here's the same hope that sustains me. And if you've listened to this program from any length of time, you understand that now. I'm not comforted by people saying they're there. What I'm comforted about is people anchoring me in the firm foundation of Scripture so that I can better understand this great Savior that I have. That's what brings me comfort. That's what strengthens my spine. That's what builds me up so that I can not only withstand the challenges that Gracie and I endure, but that I can remain strong and hopeful as they keep coming, and that I can go and be a source of encouragement to my fellow caregivers. Gracie's verse is, silver and gold have I none, such as I have I give. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. And she gives them a prosthetic leg, and they do. Mine is, comfort one another with the same comfort you yourself have received from the God of all comfort. If you want to help us do that, we would welcome it. And you can go out to my site right now and you can click on a button and say, I want to be a part of this. It's the end of the year. We welcome the help. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. Let's go out and help more and more caregivers become healthier today. All right? Let's give them true hope for the caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger, peterrosenberger.com. I'll see you next time.